Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
That's Lily Holloman, affecting an accent.
Perhaps is what he's trying to say. Maybe it's a philosophy for the 21st century. Ronan Keating, life is a roller coaster. Is that what you would say, ace actress and Lambda tutor and general all-round fine soul, Sarah Huntley?
It definitely is. There's a few ups and there's a few downs and there's a few going round in circles.
Well, I mean, you know, previous programme we talked with newbie Poppy Booth about her work as a philosophy student at St Andrews, where she's had to cope with lockdowns and all manner of things during the last few weeks. And that notion of, you know, as often said, you spend all your time climbing up the ladder only to find when you get to the top of the ladder, you've put it against the wrong wall.
Well, I think that's a jolly good analogy. At least the paint pot hasn't tumbled down on top of you too. I mean, I think it could even be worse.
That's because I've left the gardener to actually sort out the garden and the hedge and come to the studio instead. I sort of greeted him when he arrived in the morning. I said, there we are, it's all sorted through. Off he's going, so hopefully all will be well. That's the important thing. Yeah.
Well, actually, a friend of mine was telling me about it. You know, everyone's got their little sayings.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is smell the roses on the way, and theirs was a really good one. I mean, I'm not sure I like Bismarck very much, but they're a great person on German history. And they said, well, Bismarck said, only worry about the things that you have control over. This was during many wars.
Mm.
And actually, I think when you think about that, it's very true. So it might all be pretty tricky to say, and best British spirit, a bit tricky and horrific. But if you focus on what you can do for that day, not that I've been brilliant at it at all, then that makes sense. And another friend of mine was telling me, who suffers from anxiety anyway, that they'd actually had to be working in a COVID intensive care unit. And they were saying, well, you know, a depressive person is someone that looks and says, oh, if only I'd done this, if only I'd had that, I'd done this. And somebody that suffers from anxiousness, like this friend of mine, is, oh, what if this happens? That's anxiousness. And the thing that they have learned is to think about the present. I'm here in the present, and I'm just going to focus on that, if you possibly can. And I think that's so true, really, because none of us know how it's going to pan out or what the bigger picture is. We can summarize.
Well, I'm still confused, Sarah, by the fact that we had all that fuss over Brexit and yet we're still using meters as opposed to feet and inches. I mean, what's all that about? You know,
I mean, we
should have broomsticks or rather like yards were actually seen as how many sovereign people could actually march from one thing to the other. Maybe it's
Alexis,
all there.
You and I remember being at school during decimalisation.
240 pennies in the pound. And was it 240? Yes, it was. What was it, 140? Yes, yeah, 12 shillings, 144 pence. And 10 shillings, so 260. Oh, very confusing. It's no surprise that people thought decimalisation was just a huge con. You know, it's just a way for the system. But having said that, at least we didn't have to isolate ourselves.
No. And I'd just like to say to whenever this goes out, to everyone listening in, anywhere in hospitals, houses, cooped up with irritating relatives, not cooped up with irritating relatives, but just want to send my love. And I mean, when you listen to some of the stories and the bleakness of where people have gone to, but they have come out the other end, and we will all come out the other end, perhaps in a different way, but we will. And, you know, that's the best place. And I sort of feel with the hospitals with everybody, oh, golly, it must be so worrying. But if you are in the hospital, you are in the best place. You are in the best place. Whatever the journey you're on, you're in the best place. So I just sending all my love and positive vibes to everybody and hoping that they're getting rays of sunshine along the way.
And given that, obviously, before we start up the Clap for Actors campaign, which will start, obviously, this Thursday, given that the Clap for Carers has actually moved, we now need to actually work for Clap for Entertainers from that perspective. Have you been, with the dustpans and so on, applauding with John? Obviously, because your daughter, we haven't spoken about Imogen, but, I mean, she was actually front line and doing all sorts of things, called back in Cardiff, I believe, during the course of the whole process.
She's volunteering at the Royal Glamorgan at the moment in Cardiff. Well, in Wales. Yep. Mm. But that's what she signed up to do. And I have to say they're a good lot because unlike flipping actors, they don't go on about it. They just get on and do their job.
Yeah, but you know, the anxiety and the sort of, how do you actually get your podcast? How do you get your Zoom to work? If you're Skyping now, it's so old hat. It's like yesterday's news. You know, I mean, you're not on Zoom. You're not working on that basis.
I tell you what.
I mean, Zoom used to be an ice lolly, Sarah. It used to be an ice lolly that promoted the Thunderbird
Zoom
series.
The multicoloured
one. Yes, I mean, it was full of E numbers, but we would all persistently sort of look for work our way through.
Zoom was there.
It was a
lipstick music I was using then. Yeah. I was about 11 or 12,
well,
would it do?
Yes, yeah.
Or a Fab. Do you remember Fab? Yeah,
well, they had all the sort of hundreds and thousands on, didn't
hundreds
they?
Hundreds on them, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
That was Lady Penelope's seat.
For obvious reasons, I was more Zoom as opposed to Fab, you know, but
well,
you know.
It was a bit campy, your Fab, darling. A bit pink. A little bit too pink.
Yeah.
To make the boys wink.
Yeah. This is true. And you have been delivering some online teaching, so you've been working through that with respect to the fine souls of Dulwich College and doing that. How has that been? I mean, I don't know. There's something. I mean, it's rather like saying, well, it's like watching a performance on the television. It's not the same as watching it live in the theatre, and so on.
No. I think the positives are, once you haven't pushed all the buttons and made everybody disappear, which is what I was worried about doing. And I still might do that on Monday, Tuesday, next week, because I've got 16 lessons for another school to teach, Aline's, for the next 6 weeks, a week. I think my summing up would be with something like the creatives, is it is good for everyone to see one another and interchange and look at one another. And a lot of these classes that people are doing online aren't actually what they call live. You can't actually see the teacher, or you can't see your instructor. And so my pupils, I think we've all benefited from seeing one another and exchanging and talking to start with. That's a big lift for people. And I think it's difficult to, if you hadn't initially started the material that you're working on in a live classroom situation to start with before we had the COVID-19, if you've got material that you're working on, then people have been self-taping themselves and sending it in and getting quite nervous, actually, because obviously we're doing this to make up on the exams that they've missed. But I do think from year sevens through to sixth formers to older people, everyone needs to have that interaction with others and have a conversation and something outside their normal COVID isolation day, and I think it's very, very important. So I would say that the drama lessons are as important in keeping people's morale up as anything. And we've had some fun things. I've invented a few different drama warm-up games, like freeze frame, who looks like their frame's frozen when they haven't, a bit like musical chairs, and then you have to guess who is doing the longest freeze frame. I've also had people being news presenters. What I haven't managed to work out, which would be quite helpful, is how you get the two squares when one person's talking to another to be next to one another. I've enjoyed muting a few people. objects. I think it's been good, but personally I can't wait to get back into a rehearsal room and be with people and actually have that interaction, because I'm a people's person. That's what I'm missing. But I've done some voice training live on Zoom with people who've got presentations to give, which really count and matter how the voice is giving a positive energy with difficult news to give out. So that was another, that was my first one for the city that I did last week. But there's nothing quite like it's like you in the radio station, having someone sitting there and having eye contact.
Don't know. I mean, I'm looking at, there was the classic line, I was staring at a door. I could always use Spike, of course, my faithful friend and companion. He's not a real hedgehog, but he's a friend. I suppose there was the old line, the late Terry Wogan always used to say he broadcast by actually putting a jacket opposite him and talked on that sort of basis. But yeah, I suppose certainly the midweek drive pre coronavirus striking, whether we ever get back to it, I don't know. I really do not know. I mean, as it stands, it's more kind of handing on of the baton, and this is part two. This might be going out it might be going out shortly before your birthday, sir, actually. I know you're a D-Day girl, but this will probably be going out on June the 3rd, all being well. So a few days beforehand, incidentally, by saying Sarah Huntley is a D-Day, that's not when she was born, okay? It's like she's born a long, 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 long time after D-Day. You know, that's
well, I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to be 57 and proud.
No,
1963. I think I might just put a mini skirt on just for I still can at 57.
Exactly. Yes.
Due to having my hair cut, I'm really going for the 60s long hair.
My word.
You should see me. Golly, golly. And my husband's turned into a hippie overnight.
Yeah.
See, he has a bald patch with hair. and the sides, and he's very superstitious about going to the same
hairdresser.
Barber.
Yeah, yes,
so
yeah, yeah.
He won't go. And
I mean, for years, I mean, even though obviously, as you know, from a point of view, clearly one is follically challenged, whatever, etc. But I still maintain I prefer hairdressers as opposed to barbers. I always found that the sign of the red and white stripes signifying obviously when they used to be butchers was slightly off-putting, particularly when they're using razor blades.
Well, you think
you
might have a Sweeney Todd moment?
Well, you know, it's another way of actually working for the economy, isn't it, really? It's another sort of way forward, and I'm sure it would go down very well. I mean, if we're allowing for the fact that if you want to actually check your eyesight, you need to go for a 30-minute drive, then obviously, you know, it's not good. It's not good. By the way,
I tell you what will raise everyone's spirits. Did you watch Have I Got News For You last night?
I don't have a television, Sarah, so the answer is no.
Oh. Well, if you go into your computer and
When broadband arrives, that might well be an option. As it stands, just actually sort of, you know, sending an email is a miracle in terms. But yes, okay.
I'm sure that anybody...
You southerners, you think everybody's actually sort of on your own level of technology. You think, what?
I'm so... But Martin Clunes was just ace last night at hosting it. And they developed the whole thing about the eyesight. And of course, the most obvious thing you do is get in the car to test your eyesight with your wife and child. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
But the jokes are going to run and run and run. In fact, I did see something on social media. I'm not going to tell it very well, but I think you've probably seen it. The thing about they've named a new golf hole on the golf course of the Cummings Hole, haven't they? Where they can't. It can't be.
I can't actually see it.
Can't actually see it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
But
oh well.
I did read that he maybe. I've got this wrong, but I saw a headline somewhere that he's planning to leave in 5 months anyway. Or is that me getting that wrong?
To become advisor to Donald Trump? Who knows?
They could do
a job swap, perhaps. Sarah, it has been, as we knew it would be, frankly, amazingly wonderful. Shall we do it again next week?
I'd love that.
Your birthday next week.
That would be lovely. Okay. I might be in the car, but I will pick up. And
all
I'd just
right.
like to say my dad's favourite phrase, which keeps me going, smell the roses on the way.
So good.
Cause you're a sky, cause you're a sky. Stars. I'm gonna give you my heart. Cause you're a sky, cause you're a sky full of stars. Cause you light up the path. I don't care. Sky.
sky full of stars, and certainly if you're looking for a whole range of podcasts full of stars, we already spoke recently to Tessa Snart with her new podcast Country in the Kitchen. Well, never let it be said that Midweek Drivettes don't actually continue the joys of producing their own wonderments, because Eva McDonald's gone and done another one as well. Eva McDonald, lockdown podcasts, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Well, you know, we're here. We're socially distanced by about 126 miles, so that's nice. And I think we're safe from that point of view. I washed my hands before coming to the studio.
All sorted through on that.
Eva, it's great to have you back on with us. I figured it was time for this this opening sequence, so we're hopefully going to make it a weekly slot.
Yes,
we had some of our seasoned souls on, so we launched with Zoe Jameson, who, of course, has produced a marvellous sort of... drawings of animals to actually help raise funds for things from there. Poppy Booth, of course, made a debut. Tessa Snart was on form. And we've just heard from Sarah Huntley, of course, in this particular segment of the programme. And now, of course, it's your good self, Eva McDonald.
Of course, yep. I'm here.
So talk to us, Eva. Have you been doing your hour, presumably wandering around the streets of Lincoln and then back again, or a little walk in, walk out, etc. How have the last 10 weeks been for your good self?
Do you know what? I think it's gone really quickly, the 10 weeks. And I've actually really enjoyed it, because it's a break from life, I think. So it's like you can get on with projects at home. At first, everyone panics, of course, and everyone has to adjust. But I've actually really enjoyed it. Like, I've been getting on with little things just here, setting up things at home. I've actually gotten around to starting to do YouTube covers and just updating videos on YouTube, because I hadn't, and I'd always wanted to, and I'd just not, so I thought it'd be better to do that now. Just getting on with videos, really.
And as we said, this is a time where Eva McDonald has begun to take over the airwaves, and certainly the podcast airwaves. Talk to us about this latest one that we saw emerge. And I've got to be honest, Eva, I'd love to be liking it, etc. But being without broadband up in the wilds of the Northeast, it may emerge, maybe in June, you know, if we're really lucky and we keep saying our prayers and we're blessed from that point of view. We'll get that sorted. But talk to us about this lockdown podcast, or life in lockdown, and how you've been sharing questions with people who've also been kind of in this environment where we have been told stay at home.
I got involved with a YouTuber, got involved with like a YouTube site, and he, I think it's called Jay Just Jamie, his YouTube is, but he's doing a life in lockdown series. So I just had an interview with him, really, just like, not, it wasn't really a formal interview, it's just like a generic casual chat, but it's how you're coping with lockdown, what you're doing, discussing the new projects that you're doing. It was my Facebook page. For some reason it's hidden the link, so I'm gonna have to get it up again, so I'll share it again. But I was talking about life in lockdown, how you've been coping for the past 10 weeks. Again, I was talking about the two YouTube channels that I started, and holiday parks and entertainment and things, and just what I've been doing to catch up with life, really.
Can you ever catch up with life, though? I mean, surely just when you think you're going to catch it, it runs away again. Little legs.
Well, catch up with the virtual life.
Yeah, just a virtual life in its own zone. I mean, it's interesting you said you're enjoying it. Have you found that as the gradual shift to easing restrictions, I mean, as in June now, and of course, who knows what could happen? We've got the potentiality of more sport behind closed doors obviously taking place. Are you a bit worried by that? Would you prefer it to say, yes, let's stay locked down for another decade?
Well, this is the thing, because obviously the economy and everybody's worried about that. But I think what to do to go forward, I think you've got to obviously stay safe and don't take things for advantage, and don't, you know, break the rules purposely, don't start mixing with everybody completely. I think obviously stick to the social distance guidelines, that just be a bit more wary, if that makes sense, rather than just, you know, I don't think we can go back to the way that we were before. I think you've got to find that new way of life, and just a new way of being socially distant, so you don't spread the virus and contamination.
No. being a fashionista, I suspect that if you haven't already been making your own face masks, you probably have stylistic face masks. Mm-hmm. Are you a face mask wearer when you've been heading out in Lincoln?
I have seen people wearing the face mask. There's not actually lots in Lincoln, but I'm personally not. I rather just, you know, stay distant from everyone. And I'm one of those people that cross the road. I zigzag the road so much at the moment. But no, I don't wear them because I tend to stay distant from people and distance myself. So that's just a personal opinion. But I'm not one of those to cross the road and, you know, stay that 2 meters apart from people rather than face masks.
Or carry a broom.
That's
another sort of line, a broom, as opposed to a broomstick, in which case we'll be going on to all sorts of witchy-based stuff. We spoke, obviously, to Zoe James, and she was in Northern Ireland. Tessa Snart was in outside Peterborough, Poppy Booth, Stokesley, Sarah Huntley, London. Chloe Rose, who's had a bit of a tough time. I'm sure you'll appreciate that. I mean, she's always had as much of a tough time as you did last year when, of course, you ended up in hospital because Chloe went into hospital with appendicitis.
I know, yes, I saw recently.
So, I mean, you know, what is it, you know, you the things that you troopers will do, midweek drivers, just to actually sort of work our way through that. But I think she's getting through that. But what is life like in Lincoln? I mean, is it still very quiet? Is it, when you look at buses, do you see maybe one or two people actually riding them? What's the sort of shape of things?
Do you know what? Like, it's actually been really quiet. I've been out for for walks and things, and it's really, really deserted. The town in Lincoln as well is completely different. I went for a walk recently on a Friday night, which normally it would be the hustle and bustle, but it was really quiet and very weird. I've taken a few pictures just because it's so different. So I'm thinking when this is starting to be over, I'm going to upload them and maybe even make like a video collage or something, a video collection of all these photos, just as something to remember, because it's so surreal. It's definitely like an apocalypse, like one of those apocalypse movies where you just, everything's deserted. But yeah, it's quite quiet. I mean, there have been days when it's a bit noisier, but that's because of the weather and the weather's improving. But definitely back in March and April, it was quieter.
And thankfully, not quite with zombies running crazily through the streets.
No.
Of Ireland, so
you would expect
goodness.
The zombies to run around the corner.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Whilst we've been speaking, I have actually just pressed a button on my computer here to publish the first part of this programme. So if you want to actually hear what Tessa's been up to, you can actually go to southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com and you can listen to that now. And in fact, your piece, Eva, will be up again fairly shortly in, I would have said, about half an hour or so from now, all being well, or thereabouts, or 40 minutes. So, you know, you can share that as well in terms of the way that things are actually going and listen to various other bits of news, because it's the last broadcast we had since, indeed, the last upload we had since the 23rd of March, because I realised that the ones that we did just for Siren, we didn't actually sort of upload, and I might keep that back as a sort of archive. Eva, even though we are clearly using that socially distanced routine, have you had a relatively interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have indeed, thank you.
Yeah, booked at last notice, but ever the consummate professionalism as manifested by Eva MacDonald. And Facebook site, just Eva MacDonald, to find out all the links and the things that you've been getting up to with respect to lockdown interviews with YouTubers
You can either look at my Facebook page, they are public, or one of the channels on YouTube is using my second name, so it's Eva Sophia, PH in the middle, or Eva MacDonald.
Fair. So YouTube, Eva Sophia.
Yeah, no spaces in that one.
No space, or indeed Eva MacDonald.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And there is also something that I'm involved with tonight, which I'm going to put on YouTube as well. It's like an online TV web show, so that will be on my Facebook as well.
It's just getting better and better. One day when I get broadband, I'll be able to actually sort of spend some time saying, well, that was wonderful. Eva, will you be back again in the near future? Will you come and join us again?
Yes, of course.
Take me. picture in the darkness of my world. Just tell me what to do, I'll fall right into you. You're going under cause the spell, just say the word. I feel your love. Boom, clap, the sound of my heart. The beat goes on and on and on and on. And boom, clap, you make me feel good. Come on to me.
Charlie XCX and Boom Clap, as opposed to Kara's Clap. Onwards to Chloe Rose, who will be joining us in the not-too-distant future, but not on the programme today, but just in case you'd forgotten about classic Chloe Rose. and we hope you keep on breathing. And hopefully without any challenges whatsoever, obviously. You're listening to The Midweek Drive on Siren Radio and Southside Broadcasting. And coming up next, we'll say a mystery voice, but something that might just actually give a slight clue is this.
There was a time when men were kind, when their voices were soft, and their words inviting. There was a time when love was blind, and the world was a song. And the song was exciting. There was a time. Then it all went wrong. I dreamed a dream in time gone by, when hope was high and life worth living. I dreamed that love would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. I was young and unafraid. Some dreams were made, used, wasted. There was no ransom to be paid. No song unsung, no wine untasted. Tigers come at night with their voices soft as thunder as they tear your hope apart, as they turn your dream to shame. He took my childhood in his stride, but he was gone when autumn came. And still I dream he'll come to me, that we will live the years together.
Probably the ideal accompaniment to the last 10 weeks we've been going through. Or maybe not, I don't know. Listen, special mystery guest voice lined up now. Such a stalwart of the Midweek Drive over the last decade, but again, unseemly cut off as most of us were with these strange routines. We say welcome back, Richard Fitzwilliams.
I'm glad to be back, Alex. I have to say I'm thrilled to be back, and also that things very, very gradually, appear to be moving in the direction of normality.
Mm.
Let us just hope this continues after a period where this deadly pathogen has, it's changed so much in so many people's lives, and most tragically, some have been, as we all know, cut short. Yeah. I have to say that it is good to be back, and also I have been attempting in the last 10 weeks to keep an eye on what movies have been streamed, and I have to report, and I'm glad to say this, for as though I have seen some that are very good, the vast majority are being kept by the distributors. The studios are just waiting to begin, and they haven't been releasing very large numbers. So in fact, you know what, we're looking at Russell Crowe's Unhinged, we're looking at Christopher Nolan's Tenet, we're looking at really big movies and leading up, of course, to the new James Bond, No Time to Die, later in the year. That should be opening in July.
Well, certainly it's interesting. Of course, there's Wonder Woman 1984, which I'd plug for. I mean, there are lots of and I know you love Disney live-action versions of animated movies because you never get around to seeing the animated movies.
No,
so,
I do. You're absolutely right there. And indeed, it's a good opportunity, since you mentioned that, just to mention the most recent. It isn't so much a live-action version of a cartoon, but it gives me an excuse, just with my royal hat on for a second, to mention that whatever her faults may or may not have been in the interim, Megan certainly did a very passable job with the voiceover for Elephant.
Well, I mean, classic.
I'm not sure I'd use the word classic, but a touching story of the trek of a herd of elephants to find water in the Kalahari Desert.
I mean, I was thinking more of Mulan, but obviously, clearly, with Chinese relations not being necessarily at the best at the moment, Mulan might be an interesting live-action version.
You're
too,
absolutely
to take
right
away.
About Mulan. In fact, to mention Mulan, because that is the big Disney hit of the year, and it's being held. And, I'm delighted about this, because I do think, you know, it's one thing releasing a Trolls movie, which was so successful for Universal, but that was not popular in Hollywood. And whereas it is true that apparently the 93rd Oscars is going to take place with films eligible for competition not necessarily being screened theatrically, though obviously it's hoped that they will be. And nonetheless, Universal were excoriated for releasing the Trolls film, and they have, however, the James Bond movie as their trump card, so no pun intended.
And the ironically entitled, of course, No Time to Die. Of course it's not time to die. You know, clearly not. You know, it's wonderful. All you really need is a View to a Kill and a kind of computer-generated Roger Moore to actually sort of make it perfect, really, but still, never mind.
So long as you don't have a computer-generated Jaws as well. I always thought Jaws was responsible for ruining so many of the Roger Moore movies.
But he only did two. Jaws only did two. He did The Spy Who Loved Me and Moonraker, and that's all.
Too many, I'm afraid.
the other five Roger Moore entries, completely Jaws-free. So there we are. It's a different...
And completely sense-free, I'm afraid, too. One has to say that. What has been fun, and I have to say interesting, looking at what Disney's been offering, Togo, starring Willem Dafoe, about a dog in the 1920s in the Arctic, and really a... Right, if you like that sort of movie, very, very well shot, as you would expect. Elephant, which I mentioned, the story of the elephant trek to find water, and also quite a few movies streamed in Curzon Home, which I've had a lot of pleasure with. Who You Think I Am is absolutely riveting one, which hopefully we might be able to discuss in more depth in the coming Thursday.
I would have thought so. I mean, as I say, this there might be a slight change in terms of when these are actually going out. Obviously, we're recording on a weekend ahead of the sort of the following week. But, you know, don't worry about time. Time has conflated itself. And for those of you who are panicking, or indeed worried a little bit about broadband connections, etc., well, as I say, hopefully I'll get my own broadband sorted out by mid-June, so I might be able to join you.
Might I suggest, whilst we kick off with any day you would like, what we could do is a classic movie.
Gladiator.
Goodfellas.
Yes. Australia.
Yes.
And The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
I think we have to be a little cautious in defining the word classic. I would just urge you to think of When Harry Met Sally or Rosemary's Baby rather than the ones you mentioned. But I'm sure there would be a wonderful scope for doing precisely that.
Looking at the cinema experience, I mean, clearly, and I know I've teased you in the past, Richard, about sort of wanting to watch things on mobile phones, and so was indeed our colleague Ben Lewis, who hopefully will be joining us again in the not too distant future. But there is something about the cinema. I mean, the last cinema experience I went, and I always tended to be somebody who didn't like to go when there were crowds in any case, so I would go for the matinee performance of the early productions, and that was actually A Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood. Things are clearly, as you said, going to change and need to be adjusted. I mean, sport is gradually coming back, but it's behind closed doors and so on. It has been such an extraordinary time for the human race, not just Britain, of course, but the human race to kind of go through, and shows us in so many ways the fragility of society, which is why, coming round this to your other expert area of expertise, of course, I think many of us, myself included, were hugely, hugely impressed by the two contributions that Her Majesty the Queen made, first of all at the start of the lockdown period, and then obviously for VE Day. And I think it's worth acknowledging the excellent work she did.
I think that is absolutely the case. I think they were beautifully crafted. I think that she had her unique experience. Her listeners knew that. There were 24 million for one broadcast about the pandemic, and then, of course, the VE Day broadcast, another 13 or so million. And important to remember, it isn't just those who watched, but, of course, the headlines everywhere and on the news, on television, on the newspapers and online, almost everyone will have picked up the centre pieces, the messages, her tribute to NHS workers, to the British spirit, and also links with the past and what she did on VE Day, the real one, in 1945, and that quite extraordinarily. Of course, looking back, her broadcast with Princess Margaret, two evacuees, and Dame Vera Lynn, who's still with us, 103, in the first broadcast. I mean, they were marvellous. There's little doubt that the Queen, not only looking back, but also the immediacy and the sensitivity and the fact that she brought not a mixture of nostalgia and very much addressing today's problems when you have a situation that, quite frankly, I mean, the royal family were remembering when Commonwealth Day was held and the fact that they were all together, somewhat lucky to escape. Prince of Wales, fortunately having mild symptoms, did not. But there's absolutely no question that after a very, very difficult year, the royals have shown, as symbols of unity in a national crisis, that they have a tremendous reach.
Yeah. And Richard, what about yourself? I mean, how have you been coping? We've been talking with some of our contributors today about their sort of strategies for lockdown. Some of our midweek drivettes have obviously taken to YouTube. They've effectively started up their own channels. A lot of people using new media and so on. How have you sort of been getting through the last 10 weeks? Was it a case of, we'll just have to sort of try and battle through with Zoom and other things?
Well, firstly, it was a case, undoubtedly, of setting up Zoom, which I wasn't familiar with before, WhatsApp I was, and, of course, FaceTime. And the facts were that, I mean, people have been using social media one way and another, of course, for a tremendously long time, but far more now. The way of keeping in touch with quite a lot of friends, but also the fact that, as someone who does walking schedules anyway in town, and someone, therefore, who does have quite a regulated lifestyle, because I have to, as you know, I simply adapted that so that I've been exploring the nooks and the crannies, not only of Hampstead Heath, but also of Hampstead Village. And the vast numbers, I used to wonder about this as editor of International, who we had this extraordinary large number of new entries every year, didn't know where all of them lived, of course, but those who gave their addresses, who were based in North London and very often in the Hampstead area. It's been fascinating looking at the plaques from a historical point of view, including Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, not singly, not together, though they did apparently live together at one point in
Cleopatra Hampstead. Has to be in the list. I mean, we must do Cleopatra after Gladiator, surely.
I could recite it, of course.
Exactly. It's a definite
no
thought.
Problem. The interesting aspect of Cleopatra does come into this because there's a plaque to Elizabeth Taylor very, very near me on the heath at number 8 Wildwood Road, and also There is a plaque in Lyndhurst Road to Richard Burton, except that one is Richard Burton lived there with Sybil Burton, who was his first wife, and he was married to her when he was in Camelot on Broadway, and he was indeed bought out of Camelot to join Elizabeth Taylor in the Cinecittà Studios in Rome when they met in Cleopatra, and that was the end of that marriage, and it was the beginning, apart from the Windsors, of the most publicised and probably one of the most turbulent relationships of the last century, and certainly one of the most fascinating and unquestionably loving at times, and of course it was incombustible at other times. It was fascinating, and that they both got plaques in Hampstead, and Cleopatra was, of course, where they so famously met.
I have actually been able to, in betwixt battling on, trying to actually mark students' work and various other things, as one does with respect to the web and so on, lack of broadband notwithstanding, actually return to the traditional DVDs that were actually there. And I've got to say, hats off to two movies which I managed to... Well, one I actually hadn't seen before, but had it on DVD and intended to see and was very impressed with, actually. I think you gave it a sort of mid to quite good rating when you reviewed it a year or so ago, and that was All Is True with Kenneth Branagh and Judith Dench. I thought that worked very well. The other one being The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, which was a classic with Jimmy Stewart and John Wayne. Throw those
that two one in. I have to say that I never saw it.
Oh, well, there we are.
It is amazing. I mean, the gaps, there always will be gaps. The most recent DVD I saw was The Devil Wears Prada.
I caught that as well, and actually, for some bizarre reason, I thought it was going to be a paranormal sort of sequence with, obviously, Anne Hathaway, who, of course, launched this particular sequence, it's Anne Hathaway, was that, and Meryl Streep, of course, doing her
usual... Yes, it was very much a fairy story, I think, because anyone dressing like Anne Hathaway did... would certainly not, as Anne playing Andrea.
She wouldn't have got a job for International Who's Who, would she?
Not chosen by Miranda Priestley, who was so famously based in Anna Wintour, who's under siege at the moment because, of course, her former close confidant at Vogue, Andrea Leontali, has written this book, rather excoriating, I have to say. Even so, it absolutely fascinates me because I covered London Fashion Week at one time, and also some years actually, and I was riveted by the imagination and the colour and this picture of fashion's culture. It was unmatched.
It reminded me of the 1990s Robert Altman Pret-a-Porter.
I thought it, I avoided because it had such terrible reviews that I thought I could do without it.
Well, there you go. Anyway, Richard, time has as ever sort of just beaten us slightly on this system. It's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self today. It's nice that we connected in the new era in which we exist as far as these radio pieces and podcasts and things are concerned, where we say thanks to Sarah Huntley, of course, who was one of the team who actually joined us when I think we did the National Portrait Gallery a few years ago, etc. Sarah Huntley, we wish so.
National Portrait Gallery, incidentally, which has decided to take 3 years off an extraordinary length of time, but also, the first part of it undoubtedly has been well timed.
Exactly. That's what it's all about, the timing of such things. Zoe Jameson sends her best, of course. She was with us. She's doing her finals in terms of her veterinary examinations. And we also heard from Eva McDonald. Richard, have you enjoyed being back on the Midweek Drive?
I have absolutely loved it, Alex, and I'm looking forward to talking again in a few days, and let's choose a couple of movies. We can certainly kick off with Gladiator, and how about Who You Think I Am with Juliette Binoche.
Sounds good to me.
A movie which is streamed and which anyone can see if they want.
Happy trails, and stay safe.
And to you.